This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. I'm Representative Spencer Hawley, the House Minority Leader from Brookings, and have Billy Sutton, Senator, the Minority Leader for the Senate, and for our weekly press conference. Just want to, it's like we stated after the Governor's State of the State, it's a different year this year. The governor is not having any major initiatives he's come out with, and there's really not any money to play with. The appropriations is looking to find some, so a lot of other smaller issues are starting to surface. And as we get through, the non-meandered water discussion came out of the Senate Ag yesterday. It'll be headed down to the floor and see how that goes, so how that portion progresses. Our specific concerns that we've talked in the past about, that the governor addressed briefly the state of the states, our workforce development issues that we've got in the state, and we plug those back into the education side. The higher ed, our needs-based scholarship program, we still want to keep focus on that, and we need to talk about it. Being the one state that started the needs-based scholarship last and the minimal funding that we put into it. As the governor stated, to have an education going forward is going to be more important ever than the economy that we see we had heading into South Dakota. And the only way that we're going to be able to help students is a higher focus and eventually provide some funding to that. Along with us, the CTE in education at the high school level. We do support the program that the governor's come out to the relationship on apprentice programs within the high schools. That we have the four high schools that in Sioux Falls, Rapid, Yankton, and Brookings that are developing it. I visit with my superintendent in Brookings, and he's extremely excited about it, and several of the business owners in Brookings are excited. And I think that's a good direction to go, and we fully support and hope we keep heading along there. The other area, and I hate to be repetitive year after year, but I think the Building South Dakota is extremely important. The governor's proposal is good from the standpoint that it starts the discussion. He ends up in that $4.9 million range of ongoing funding. And so there's talk of a permanent funding out of the general fund, but I don't think it's near enough yet. The Housing Opportunity Fund within Building South Dakota could use that money by itself. And the housing discussion in workforce development, as we all know, goes hand in hand. And so I think we need to be looking at where we're focusing. We're still pushing to find more dollars to go to the Building South Dakota. And rather than shrink that program, at least maintain where it's at now. It was designed to go on $10 million a year, if you remember. That was the kind of the threshold that we were hoping to get funding for ongoing. And I think we need to get back to that discussion level. But rather than go into a lot of detail, I'll turn it over to Senator Sutton then.
Yeah, thanks, Spence. Billy Sutton, District 21 Senator, Minority Leader. I think Spence hit some good stuff on the workforce development. And part of our focus is going to be to work with the governor on workforce development, but also have our own package of bills as well. You know, we'll be focusing on getting some more ongoing funding, the needs-based scholarship, as Spence mentioned. When you look at surrounding states compared to how we support the needs-based scholarship, it's a pretty stark difference. For every Pell Grant eligible student, we have $14 to give, and Wyoming has $1,800, Minnesota $1,500. There's a huge difference in what's available for our needs-based scholarship program, and if we're going to talk, have a real conversation about workforce development, it's going to have to revolve around education, and that's why I was so happy to hear Governor Dugard focus on education as a significant piece of workforce development. The other part that we're going to be talking about and hopefully continue to move this conversation forward is early childhood education. I brought a couple bills last session on that. I'm going to bring a bill this session that is very similar to one last year that's going to put together an early childhood advisory council. And you know, have some bipartisan support on that, and there's a lot of folks that are interested in having the conversation to gather data and to look at the economic impact of early childhood education in South Dakota, because there are a lot of studies out there that show the huge economic benefit to kids and families. So I think it's an economic issue that we need to be talking about. And then also, you know, Spence mentioned career and technical education at the high school level. I think that's incredibly important. Governor Dugard's done some good things in that vein in the past. I'm going to have a bill that creates a CTE consortium fund, and the goal of that is to drive innovation and collaboration within our high schools. And really the idea came from a grant that Burke put together a few years ago. Governor Dugard had some dollars that he granted out of the Future Fund, if you remember, a few years back. And Burke was one of those recipients. They got $800,000. They partnered with three other schools. So there were four schools involved in this consortium. They bought four mobile units. Each school gets a mobile unit that offers a different career and technical education course each year. So every kid in high school, from freshman to senior, gets to take one of those courses at least sometime in their career. And that's the type of innovation that we need, because they're able to take welding, manufacturing, engineering, biomed, courses that they would not be able to take if one school was trying to offer those. I mean, Burke couldn't offer all four of those on their own. And they couldn't have bought the mobile units without support of the Future Fund. And so I'm looking at a bill that's going to take money out of the Future Fund, $1 million a year for 5 years is the goal, and have it be some type, you know, a competitive grant process so that especially our rural schools can have the opportunity to offer more opportunities for their kids. And, you know, hope to garner bipartisan support on that as well. And then again, you know, Building South Dakota that we've talked about on multiple occasions that is so important to the future of South Dakota. Let us not forget that that was very much a bipartisan bill, and we need to keep it that way. And we need to remind folks that when the large projects bill got repealed on the ballot, when the voters said, we don't want the large projects bill that got passed in the legislature, we all came together as legislators and passed Building South Dakota. And it was very bipartisan. We have to fund it. We have to fund our priorities, and we have to figure out a way to find that money. And we have our work cut out for us, but we've got to focus on economic development here in South Dakota and workforce development if we're ever going to grow our economy. And so that's going to be a big focus. The other piece that I think we'll hit on is, you know, this week we had the professionalism and civility and harassment training provided by NCSAL. I thought it was very well attended. I thought that it was a really good conversation, and it brought a lot of awareness to this issue of harassment, and I personally really enjoyed the discussion about the civility in politics and the importance of civility, in that even though we might disagree, we don't have to be disagreeable, and I think that if we all take that to heart, we can really head in a better direction for our nation and for South Dakota to get things done, find common sense solutions by working together, even though we don't always agree. And then finally, I just wanted to give a shout out to the tourism industry. They've been here all week. They're a great group. Secretary Hagan and Governor Dugard have done a fantastic job with tourism here in South Dakota. I don't know that anybody would disagree with that. And so, although I'm trying to practice what I preach in civility and the conversation about we have to give credit when credit's due. And I just want to thank Governor Dugard and Secretary Hagan for their work and in partnership with the visitor industry here in South Dakota, because they have done a fantastic job, and I hope that continues. So, with that, unless Spence,
And I did want to make a quick comment about the tourism. They had their banquet last night, as you all know, and had a chance to attend. And it's impressive what they've done. in the last 8 years, they've grown every year, and the visitors coming through, and the ad campaigns that they've put on nationally, and the program. But even more than that, it was just fun to get together last night and visit with all the people from across the state and the tourism industry, the business owners, the motels, hotels, the attractions, and just the excitement there. So it's fun, and it's they've done a great job, and I hope they continue on with it. And finally, the harassment training. I did want to make a quick comment because I think that's valuable training that we did. Whether, you know, the nuts and bolts of training is part of the discussion, but part of the discussion is just to have the discussion in the open in the first place. And I think that what's talked about is what happens and what people think about. And it is important that we do it. We've had issues come up since I've been in the legislature the last 7 years, and we've had to deal with it, and it's much better to address them up front and talk about them and just kind of throw the line down, don't cross this area. So but open it up for questions.
Yeah, with that, any questions?
Sort of in that same vein, Senator Sutton, you've tried to change some of the legislative rules with regard to sexual harassment and that sort of thing. Has there been a panel appointed yet? Have you been a part of that discussion?
Yeah. Senator Greenfield promised me he would do so, and I believe he maybe announced that yesterday, that they put the work group together. And I look forward to what they come up with. I mean, my hope is that they come up with a little better process for reporting harassment, and I think that would be a good step in the right direction. So I'll be watching closely to see what comes out of that work group. But you know, Senator Greenfield followed through on his promise to put it together, and I have faith that the folks on there are taking it seriously, and will work to find a little better process.
There's also been conversation over the last couple of weeks about initiated measure reform. A couple bills have made their way across. Do you have any thoughts about what sort of legislation you would support in that arena, and what you would not like to see as lawmakers take that up?
Yeah, and I'll start on that. You know, the initiated measures and referendums, kind of our line in the sand is to not make it more difficult for people to get initiated measures from South Dakota. The openness discussions and who's donating money and the transparency of it, totally supportive of that. I guess that, but when we try to close down the process and make it much more difficult, not supportive of that area. You know, we've got 1005 that's hung up a little bit right now in the House side, and that's the one that came out of the interim committee on and the verbiage and how it would be stated in the ballot. And right now the big concern is on referendums. It's, you know, if it's a yes vote, is that a no vote? Is a no vote a yes vote? And we just want to make sure that that's as clear as possible. And so that one has been calendared last couple of days and been put off because of that reason. So, and I think there's people from the other side that have questions of the verbiage too, and they just want to make sure it's correct.
Yeah, I mean, I really struggle with this one because I struggle with the view that South Dakotans don't know what they're doing at the ballot. You know, we trust them to send us up here as legislators, but there seems to be a constant attack on them voting on issues on the ballot. And I really have a frustration with that. You know, I think we need to respect the will of the voters. And when you look back at the history of South Dakota and go and look through all the measures that we've had, for the most part, by and large, South Dakotans have got it right. And I just feel like there's been a big overreaction in the last couple of years to the measures that have been on because some of the legislators maybe don't like what's happening on the ballot. I don't think that entitles you to take away the voice of the people just because you don't like something that they're voting on. And so I'm going to continue to support the will of the voters and do our best to do that. Every once in a while, there will come an issue where maybe we need to tweak something and things to make the process better. But I agree with Representative Hawley that we shouldn't be trying to make it harder for folks to have their voice be heard on the ballot.
To both of you gentlemen, could you give me a look ahead to next week, what you expect to be talking about, what the public will be hearing about, what major issues you're going to be bringing up in both committee and on the floor?
Yeah, I think there's still a lot of bills out there, and so we'll kind of be monitoring, because I think next week is the deadline for unlimited bill introduction, and then we have one more week after that when you have your final three bills. So the bulk of the bills are going to be dropped next week, and we'll have a little better feel for how many bills there are, because I think we're going to have a lot of bills out there this year, and we're going to have our work cut out for us. There's some people that speculated we could have up to 600 bills, and that is a lot compared to past years in South Dakota. So I'll give Governor Dugard a hard time. He should have had a big initiative, because if you give legislators too much time, they come up with 600 bills. So you know, we'll have our work cut out for us.
You know, it's real difficult. We've been talking in generalities here today, because the controversial stuff really hasn't popped up yet. Most of my committees have been, things are coming out on consent or by one vote, somebody's against it or something. So we just really haven't got into the serious discussion mode yet. And there's a lot of stuff floating out, people running around with bills and a lot of different opinions and everything. So I don't know which direction we're going to end up heading next week. Because I was on the summer task force on the non-meandered waters, I'm hopeful that comes out of the Senate. That is probably the one discussion in that area that's really going to get heated up next week. I know there's four or five bills floating out there besides what the governor's got going through over in the Senate side. So the discussion's going to get a lot more heated on that portion of it. Most of the ethics reforms bills that came out of the task force have gone through, except the 1005 I mentioned. And I just don't know where we're going to end up with next week. And APROPES is driving a lot of this in the background on dollars, and they're still just right at the beginning of their hearing process. And until we set our funding in February, as you remember with our new time frame now, they set it about 3 weeks earlier on our projected revenues for 2019. Once that's done, it's going to be a lot clearer, I think, which direction we can head in a lot of these issues we've talked about.
Just on one piece of legislation, this campus free speech bill that's being pushed, can you guys talk about how Democrats come down on that one?
Actually, no. As you said that, I don't know enough about the bill at the moment to give you an answer. I don't know. Have you studied it closely?
I haven't looked at that bill closely at either, but we'll take a look at it. I'm not really sure what it entails. I've heard some rumblings about it, but I haven't heard much about it, but we will have a position on it. We just need to look at the details of it. As they say, the devil is in the details.
Yes. Yeah.
Has your caucus reached a consensus on non-meandered waters? Is there a strong feeling one way or another to open it up, or
not in our caucus? I don't know about the House side. We're actually pretty divided.
Yeah.
In the Democrats' camp.
We probably have as good a discussions within the caucus levels as we do within the legislature in that one. That is not a caucus position. There's people on both sides of the issues. So, no. We've talked about it just to explain what the facts are, but it's actually a position. We won't come out as on a position on that outside of his individuals.
Well, and I mean, that's, I think that's fairly typical. Like, you know, Spence and I can come talk about a lot of caucus positions, but our caucus, and we've always held that you vote your conscience on every issue, and we don't hold anybody to require them to vote one way or the other or anything like that. But especially with, you know, this non-meandered water thing, it's really interesting to see the breakdown and differences of opinion from a lot of different, you know, groups of folks. So,
is there anything else? That it? Thanks for your time.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time, and we'll see you again next week.